glad you got that kind of vitality in the morning. Most of us don't. Yeah, we. But it's good to come to church. Good. We had a good day yesterday. I think I finally have discovered something louder than Al. If you've ever had the opportunity, Al is in the morning when Linda comes in. Linda Jennings. Al just loves to announce the coming of Linda Jennings. So he starts with this. Yeah. This, I don't even want to do it. But it gets rather loud and long. And if you've ever heard him do it, you know what I'm talking about. But I think I've heard something yesterday. I think the F-22 has you beat. It was a little bit longer, a little bit louder.
Don't tell
them that. So, anyway, that's one of the joys. If you get here early, you get to hear Al. That's only if Linda comes up. Anyway, we're so glad you're here. Glad you're if you've not been here before, we're glad you're visiting with us. If you've been here regularly, we're glad you're coming back. Next Sunday, after church, some of you would stand back and help us take the chairs down for Bible school, that would be good. So if you just plan on, that you're not going to make it to the restaurant quite on time, going to be a little bit later, so put that on your schedule so that you're aware of that. And then many of you are aware that Carl Lachey passed away. His memorial service will be announced at a later date when that will be done. And then, of course, Mary Berry also passed away. And so we don't know anything further about that. But those two, we've lost those two brothers and sisters in the Lord. And so keep their family in prayers and keep them in your own mind. I was talking to Holly this morning. Maybe I shouldn't say her name. I was talking to somebody this morning before she was getting her coffee. And she said, I said, how you doing? She says, I'm doing good. She goes, no, I'm well. Well, none of us are good, are we? Or something like that, to that nature. And, but we're going to pray that she gets good. And we're going to pray that we all get good. Okay? That's one of the things we want to do. We thank God for our physical wellness, but let's ask God to help us all get a little bit gooder. Can we all get a little bit gooder?
Yeah.
I think we can pray for that, and that would be a good thing for us. God bless you. We're glad you're here with us this morning. And I'm going to have, it's good she remembered and helped me remember.
Well, one of my announcements was probably many of you got to go to a special performance this week, and a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. How many of you guys got to go to the Sound of Music? Look at that. Just about the whole church was able to come, and wasn't that awesome? And wasn't that so good? We also got to see William and Isabella as well from the church that were there. And so they gave us something to sing about and talk about for a long time. What a joy that was. And so the next one is just that Vacation Bible School is coming up. I know that you guys are aware that we are looking for people who will help take down and help set up and things like that for Vacation Bible School. So Sunday, as he said, that would be great. I'm going to spring a meeting on you, though. So if you're a worker, we would love. Now, if you're going to be helping out, like with the registration or with like the food, things like that, I don't think you need to come tomorrow. But for the rest of you guys, if you're able to, I think Seth is coming home tomorrow. So praise God, he's coming home. The family's going to be hanging out, picking him up from the airport. They won't be able to be there at the meeting. But if you're able to, we're going to spring another meeting on you tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And that'll be just to be able to hand out decorations, go over the music, any last-minute things you have about our Vacation Bible School. So if you can put that on your agenda tomorrow, 6 o'clock, please come if you're able to. I know we've made some last-minute changes, and so those people who have last-minute new things they're going to be doing, I think this is a great time tomorrow to try to connect and make sure that you know what you're doing. So I'm excited, And just want to thank you again for all that you're already doing to prepare for those children and for the ways that we're going to impact this community as well. So thank you.
Now it's my turn. Okay, good. Once again, I'm here for a mission moment, and I ask you to continue to pray for our missionaries and the people of Africa and Haiti and the places where violence is escalating. I'm having trouble thinking this morning, but there are groups there that are just very involved with violent activity, and they're taking it out on anybody that they pretty much can come in contact with, especially in Haiti. Nigeria, this has been going on. Haiti, it's been going on for a long time too, but it's escalating. So you just especially pray for those people. Keep them in your thoughts. If you would look out on one of the tables, I notice there's a lot of materials out there, but this is a flyer I'm putting out there. It's for Pregnancy Decision Health Center. They send us every month an email that asks for specific prayers for the ladies that they come in contact with. And I'll just give you an example. For a mom who is abortion-minded, depending on the gender, and is having gender testing done next week, pray for her heart to be changed. Yeah, that's just one example of a prayer that they're asking for. So if any of you are interested, you can either get one of these from me, or you can pick one up on the table. And look for them. I'll try and put them out there every month. Also, we've got confirmation from two people who will be attending our mission conference in September. It's going to be September 17th. It's always right after church, after we have a little lunch. And it's a Pregnancy Decision Health Center will be there, as well as Deaf Teen Quest. So they're always a good group to hear from as well. We'll have young people who will be here talking with us about how the things that they have done to help that community. The deaf population, not just in our area, but throughout the country, are the least served by those who know Christ, and it's because of the communication barrier. If you're deaf, a lot of people aren't able to communicate with you. Even their parents, many times, aren't able to communicate. So they don't hear about Christ. And this group of people through Youth for Christ, a specific group of people that focus on the deaf community, they are helping these young people in our area, especially through North High School, East High School, and bringing people to the Lord. So it'll be exciting to hear what they have to say about their program and how they have made an impact on just the young people in this community. So mark your calendars and look forward to having a good time and also learning a lot about these two groups. And September's going to be here pretty soon, so we can start thinking about that.
Good morning. Let's stand and sing, shall we? Let's lift our voice in praise. This is house of the Lord. This is a song we introduced about 3 or 4 weeks ago. You should know it by now. So we'll be all set. Help me out, would you? We worship the God who was. We worship the God who is. We worship the God who evermore will be. He opened the prison doors. He parted the raging sea. My God, He holds the victory. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. We sing to the God who heals. We sing to the God who saves. We sing to the God who always makes a way. He hung upon that cross. Then he rose up from the grave. My God, still rolling stones away. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. We were the beggars, now we're royalty. We were the prisoners, now we're running free. We are forgiven, accepted, redeemed by His grace. Let the house of the Lord sing praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's joy in the house of the Lord today. And we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. There's joy in the house of the Lord. Our God is surely in this place, and we won't be quiet. We shout out your praise. We shout out your praise. There is joy in this house. There's joy in the house today. We shout out our praise. We shout out your praise.
God hears the praises of His people, doesn't He? Amen. To God be the glory.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son. His is life and atonement for sin, and open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He hath taught us, great things He hath done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son.
Let's read from Deuteronomy 10. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, and he is before all things, and by him all things. He's got it handled, right? Amen.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. As I come into your presence, past the gates of praise, into your sanctuary, till we're standing face to face. I look upon your countenance, I see the fullness of your grace, and I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, the Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place. You are awesome in this place, mighty God.
Father, there is no God like our God. You've got everything under control. Lord, we give everything to you and acknowledge that you are the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We praise you for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
I'll take that one too. Well, good morning, everyone. Have a good week this week? Yes? Some yes, some no's? Kirsten's here this morning. Also, I also call her Cindy. And now was it Gretel? Who is it? And now it's Gretel. Now you have three names. I can call you any one of those three names and you can respond to those. And William and Isabella were in the play as well. I saw them standing behind the couch. I'm like, they look familiar. Oh yes, it was. So that was, it was good. It was a good program. Our grandkids were there and they enjoyed it, so it was fun. What's the good news happening this week? God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. Pray that as a kid. We did that. We also did Rub-A-Dub-Dub, Thanks for the Grub. Yay, God. That was youth camp stuff we did. Do we have anything to share this morning? Oh, right in the front row.
I just praise God again for family, for church family. How good it is just to be able to be a church family that's reaching out and just to be a part of things, and just encouraging to know that you guys are all so involved in the community and what we're doing. But also, we had a camping experience this week with our family, and everybody except for one of them who was involved in a vacation Bible school was able to come at least at some point, and that was really good. We had that Thursday night. We were going to spend the night there, and we had others there, and all of a sudden that big storm just erupted, and lightning everywhere, and some of it very close. And I praise God, because I ended up in the trailer holding one of my grandchildren, and there were other grandchildren that were there, and it was kind of a fearful experience to be there in your tent and trying to gather belongings so they don't blow away when there's lightning. And I just spent time praising God and in prayer, and I just am so thankful. Nobody got hurt, and you know, it was just a time we could talk to the children about how we are not afraid in the middle of a storm and how God is with us. So he gave us an opportunity for many of us to go home that night instead of stay in tents, but also just to just talk about how awesome our God is. So
hey, my buddy Bo Murray's back over there.
If you don't know Bo, that's Bo. Bo likes to mow. Call him and he'll go. I don't know how to do that stuff, but anyway, if I did, I would make a little rap or something.
I just wanted to share, I got to meet a lot of people through this experience, the Sound of Music experience. I didn't know most of them. It was like maybe one person I knew going into it, but the mother abbess was sharing with me, her name's Linda, and she was sharing with me that some of the theology she doesn't like in the show, and when she says at the end, I lift my eyes to the hills, she wants to say, because my help comes from the Lord. She wants to finish the line, and my brain already goes to that next line, but there were quite a few people involved in the production that don't know Christ, so, you know, it's just one of those things where you try to be a light and stuff, so I thought that was cool that I got to meet some other Christians from the area, so.
That's good.
I'd like to thank God for his faithfulness. And in August, I'm going to have another surgery, but it's going to be an outpatient, and hopefully it'll be in and out. And I'd like to ask you if you would pray for me, but also pray for my family.
Okay. I'm kind of shy with this. I just want to say thank you, everyone, for being my family church. Like, you know, my mother passed away this summer. Mm-hmm. Thank you for being here for me.
I have two things I'd like to say. Kirsten, I'd just like to tell you how proud we are of you. I did not get to go, but I heard a lot of good things. So, honey, we are so proud of you, and we are so glad you're a part of our church. We love you. And I would also like to ask for prayer. One of my girlfriends has had cancer 3 times. Friday, she had a double mastectomy, and she's asking for prayer. And she came through it okay, but it's a long road ahead. So if we could just pray for her, I would really appreciate it. Her name is Shannon. Thank you.
Okay. I just want to praise God for the workers at the church. You look outside, you drive up, and you see the grounds are nice, the church is nice. And that's because we have faithful people. And God put them here to to serve this church in that capacity. So we thank them, and then we also praise that we have a VBS and that we can bring some kids in from the community.
Pray for Matt's family, Matt Shrum back here. They're on their way home. They had to stop at a hotel because traffic took them 10 hours to get halfway, so they're on their way home today, right?
Yes, they will.
Okay.
Okay, I've just recently noticed how many among us are in pain from surgeries and long rehab and all. But the thing I also observe is through that, I see so much laughter as they talk about it. And I just always feel that's just Christ in us, giving us that ability to keep smiling through what's physically painful. And I won't name any of them, but you all know who you are because I've already told it to you. And I just thank the Lord for that.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for bringing us here safely this morning, Lord, for getting us through. Pray for those who are traveling on the way home and those who have surgeries coming up, and those who are not doing well with cancer and different things that have happened, Lord, in their lives, and those who are homebound, those who have passed on, Lord, to be with you and their families. You'd be with them, those who are in the hospital and not doing well at this point. And just for those, Lord, who just trying to make it through life day by day and wondering where the next meal is going to come from, where the next check's going to come from, where, how they're going to pay the bill, why are their kids doing this, and why is the family in such a disarray and all those things. And we just pray for them and for their faith that you would guide and direct them, Lord, bring them closer to you. Thank you for keeping us safe, for delivering us, for allowing us opportunities to share with those who don't know you. Pray for those who don't know you, Lord, to get an opportunity to hear about you. Bless your word this morning. Bless the singers this morning and the worship that we have in Jesus' name. Amen.
God's been faithful. This is one of my favorite songs. It never goes old to me. And as many of you know, my work has been slow and kind of intermittent. They tell me I should retire, but I'm only 48, so I don't want to really want to retire yet. But I'm working on it. But I know the Lord has something. I've always been a person that goes to the next challenge. I feel like Brian Finley. You ever talk to Brian and see what he's got his hands in and what he's got going next and what he's on? I know the Lord has something else for me in the next few years. And so God's been faithful, but we all have to be reminded of it and sometimes have to be knocked on the head. And I think the Lord kind of knocked me on the head the last couple of days. Amen.
In my moments of fear, through every pain, every tear, there's a God who's been faithful to me. Looking back, his love and mercy, I see. Though in my heart I have questioned, even failed to believe, yet he's been faithful, faithful.
Dave. I was playing my trumpet this morning. My wife was yelling at me. And she said, "Be quiet." I'm like, "Oh, just trying to give Dave an accompaniment up there," and he was doing it. No. Have you heard somebody say the word to you, focus? You just focus. Focus on that. What does that mean, to focus? Some people it means different things, doesn't it? Looked it up, and it means to pay particular attention to, concentrate on, fixate, or fix your attention. So when you think about focusing, there's a lot of things we can focus on. In school, some people focus on grades. All their effort is putting it, is getting good grades. They spend time reading and studying and focusing and on what the grade is going to be. They don't have any fun. They just stay in their room and read and try to get the best grade. We had a girl in school. I won't tell you what her name was because she could listen to this sometime. Who knows? Anyway, she got an A minus on a math test, I think, one time, started crying in class. We're like, what's going on? Got an A minus. I said, dude, we're all jumping for joy if we get an A minus in class. We usually get C's. But it was so important to her. But she thought she failed because she got an A minus. And we said, that's a great grade. I don't know how she's doing today. I see her on Facebook some. But I never asked her those questions. But for some people, that ruins your life, doesn't it? You get a bad grade in one class and it's like the end of the world, but it's not. It's just a grade. And sometimes grading procedures are different for different people, aren't they? Different teachers, different things. Some people focus on their career. They spend their entire life trying to climb the ladder of success. Put in 50, 60, even 80 hours a week, but to what expense is it? You don't spend time with your family or friends. You're constantly doing work. Sometimes your kids grow up and you look over and say, what happened? Well, you've been at work all the time. You didn't get to see their activities, didn't go to their sporting events, didn't get to see their plays, didn't see anything. You missed it because you were working all the time trying to get somewhere, and the thing you're working, the reason you're working for was for your family, and then they're gone. And it's just you and your wife, or maybe sometimes it's just you by yourself. But that's time you could have spent with them. Money's an important thing at some parts, but it's not the most important thing, is it? If you can just live, have food and shelter and spend time with your family, that's what you need. You don't have to have everything new. Some people focus on their problems. From time they get up, time they go to bed, all they see are problems. Oh, this is wrong, that's wrong, this is bad, that's wrong, this hurts, that hurts. Well, it's just like Jesse said, it's going to hurt, okay? Just get used to it. You know that in the future, when you go to heaven, it's not going to hurt at all. Or this isn't working, that didn't happen. This person did this or this person did that. I'm not happy about it. It's not fair. If only. We can always say if only, can't we? If only this, if only that. If you look for trouble and disappointment, we'll see it. Zig Ziglar said, when you focus on problems, you get more problems. You focus on possibilities, you have more opportunities. So sometimes problems are opportunities, aren't they, for us? Or we can make them an opportunity for us. So when I hear the word focus, I think of the eye chart. You go to the doctor and he says, you know, can you read the bottom line? You don't want to admit your eyes are getting worse. You can't ever see the bottom line. So you just make up letters. A, G, B, K, L. He's like, can you try the next line up? Well, you can't even see that line. So you just say the same thing. A, G, B, K, L. And he's like, well, those letters aren't even on this chart. Then he makes a few little clicks, click, 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 and he's, can you read it? Oh, yeah, I can read everything perfectly now. So sometimes you just need some help in seeing it, don't you? You just need help seeing things, and that's what Christ does for us. It gives us focus on our lives to be able to see things a little bit more clearly. And as Christians, we're surrounded by a lot of things that the Lord has for us. Hebrews 12, 1 through 3 says, we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that easily entangles us. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And then it says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so you won't grow weary and lose heart. I think sometimes we get so focused on things that are not important, we don't see what's in front of us. We don't see what's there. We don't see what is important. We don't see the cloud of witnesses who have gone before us, those who have triumphed over hardship and temptation, trials and disappointment. We don't see those who are here today supporting us and praying for us. Sometimes we don't share our prayer needs, do we? I don't want anybody to know that. Well, you should, so they can pray for you. Maybe pick one person. Could you pray for me about this? Right? I have an operation coming up. I have this coming up. This has happened to my family. Because we're focused on the wrong things sometimes. Sometimes it's pride. We don't want anybody to know we have any issues. The fact is, everybody has issues. Whether you admit it or not, everybody has issues and problems, whether they want to tell people or not about them. Sometimes you focus on things of the world like money, power, passion, addiction, self-promotion, and other things. And they're simply distractions from focusing on the most important thing at all. It says, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Some versions say perfecter. And as I thought about this verse, it made me think. Jesus is the author of our faith, right? He's the object of our faith. Without him, there's no reason for faith. He's our object. Now think about this. Jesus is the finisher of our faith. What does that mean? Well, this is my idea, okay? So if you hear it somewhere, say, if you don't think it's true, it's okay. This is what I think it means. In and through him, we find the end of our faith. It's made perfect. And it is finished. It's done. When we get to heaven, we don't need faith anymore because we've been redeemed, delivered, made new, and spent eternity with our Savior. We'll be made perfect. No more sorrow, pain, or worries, or sin. He'll be the focus of our life forever. So when we see him face to face, it won't be dim like it is now. On the cross, when he said it's finished, his job was done. When we get to heaven, our job here on earth is done. So we no longer need faith because it would have been fulfilled. Does that make sense? He's our faith. He's the author, perfecter, finisher. So our faith that we need to have finishes because it's been complete when we get to heaven. We're with him, we see him, we spend time with him, and we're made perfect at that point. He's the resurrection, and our ascension in heaven says it's finished. Now we live with him forever. That's what I think the verse says to me. He started our faith and he finished our faith. If we don't fix our eyes on him, we'll be led astray and distracted by worldliness, unforgiveness, worry, selfishness, stubbornness, indifference, disunity, and more. Do you see people around like that have those things? Worldliness, unforgiveness, worry, selfishness, stubbornness, indifference, and disunity. Here's a quote that I read. It says, "Don't focus on those running beside you, but on what's in front of you." Don't worry about who's beside you. Worry about what's in front of you. There's a cartoon that I saw, the Far Side cartoon. If you, I don't know if you watch those cartoons or listen or read them, whatever. There was a bear coming down the hill, and the two guys were camping. And the guy looks up and says, "There's a bear. Why are you putting your running shoes on? You can't outrun that bear." He said, "I don't have to outrun the bear. I've just got to outrun you." In a horse race, they focus on the poles. In swimming, they focus on the wall. In basketball, they focus on the hoop. In baseball, they focus on the ball. And in running, you focus on the finish line. You don't keep looking around to see what everybody else is doing. You're focused on getting to the finish line. In the Christian life, we have to keep our focus on Christ. When things get tough, we may be tempted to head back to the couch or what's familiar. But the cross compels us to stay the course as Jesus did. If the object of your faith isn't Christ, then you've shifted your faith and focus on a lesser object. And that's when we make foolish choices, don't we? Foolish decisions, maybe rash things that we'd regret later on. But if you look around and pay attention to various objects, then your trust is going to be somewhere else. And I was reading, it said, not too many years ago, a group of people put their faith in, quote, religion that promised a spaceship would soon arrive and take them back to the mother planet. Sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? But people believed it. The spaceship's going to come back and take us to the mother planet and everything's going to be fine. The result was a mass suicide similar to that of Jonestown. Another sad story of people led astray by a man who had a different way, didn't he? Let's just all drink this Kool-Aid and all these things that people go through that is not even close to what Christ wants. But even Christians who should know better can sometimes get swept up in movements that serve as substitutes for their faith. Sometimes Christians get led astray. Maybe not all the time, maybe not totally, maybe not forever, but at times they're led astray. They're well-meaning. They believe the solution to the problem is to elect all Christians into office. And that'll take care of our government. Just elect all Christians into office. We want people with good decisions, good values, man or woman, whatever it may be. But that's not necessarily going to change our country. Doesn't mean they're always going to make the right decision, the right choice. Doesn't mean they're even going to be allowed sometimes to make that choice. You may be the one Christian out of 50 people, and you vote one way and they vote the other way. Well, it's something to strive for. If they're living for Christ in a true relationship, then there should be some effect, we would hope, on society, right? Another fatal shift that people are looking at for their faith is they have faith in faith. Yeah, faith in faith. They view faith as a power by which we gain success, wealth, and health. Some Christians who aren't rooted in the true word of God even shift their faith to activities or accomplishments to doing, which means you're going to earn your salvation or earn whatever you want just by working and working, working. Even though God says to work in faith, but works don't make faith. So in the positive sense, we need to make sure we focus our faith on Christ, to turn it back to the Son of God, the one who provided all things and all needs. Peter said, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Jesus Christ, by his own words, has identified himself as the source and fulfillment of all our needs. As he said to John in Revelation 1:8, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and everything in between. So Christ is all in all. Colossians had it right. They came back to faith, didn't they? It's nice when you come back. Nice when your kids come home. They've been gone. They come back. You get to spend that time together. It's nice, I think, for the Lord when Christians have strayed, and they come back to him, and they say, I'm home. And he welcomes them with his arms out that they're back. But what does it mean to focus our faith on Jesus, our attention, our life, our actions? When we do that, it allows us to do and be what he wants us to do and to be. I found a couple examples in the Bible to see what Jesus did. So in Matthew 21, verses 12 and 13, Jesus went to the temple of God, cast them all out that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. What does that mean for us? Well, to me, it means Jesus saw something that was wrong. People were cheating and taking advantage of people in the house of God, basically, in the temple. He didn't just go tell his friends, Oh, do you see what they're doing down there? They're doing all these terrible things. He stood up and said, This is wrong. You're not going to do this. He took action. He drove people out. He wanted the temple to be a place of honor, worship, and prayer. So what does that mean for us? It means we go to Washington and we drive people out. No, it doesn't mean that. It means when you see something that's wrong, that God disapproves of, we stand up and we say something about it. We take a stand. We make a difference. It doesn't mean we're going to be violent, but we need to be effective. It means we need to say that this isn't right. I'm disgusted by it, and something needs to change. Instead of being quiet and just telling each other, you may have to tell your congressman. You may have to tell your school board member. You may have to tell your pastor, whatever it is. If something's wrong, you need to stand up and say, this isn't right. We need to change this. Many situations today, we see abuses and injustice taking place. Human trafficking, child abuse, domestic violence, and other things. We focus on God and we can see that he'd want us to act. You may say, one person can't do everything. But one person can do something. I think Mother Teresa said that. One person can do something. You can get involved. You can ask the Lord to show you how he can help, what you should do, where to place your time, where to place your funds, where to place your votes, whatever it may be. But you can do something for that. Maybe that's your cause. You can't do all the causes. You just can't do them all. God will tell you which specific call is yours, and that's the call that you follow and put your time and investment into. John 4, 7 and 8, we see the action with a Samaritan woman. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, Will you give me a drink? His disciples had went into town to buy food. The woman said to him, You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews did not associate with Samaritans. Jesus cared for people, didn't he? He reached out to those who others wouldn't talk to. No matter what the public opinion was, he didn't care what public opinion was. He's going to talk to him anyway. So what do we learn from this? Focus on people because they're the most important thing. It's not your car. It's not your house. It's not your dog or your cat. Sorry. It's people. They're the most important thing. It doesn't matter about your economic status, your gender, your ethnicity. He saw people as people. Right? They weren't judged. He reached out to them and loved them. He was honest, told them what was right, and he let them make their choices. There's people around us who are outcasts, people in stores, on the street, people who follow you around the parking lot. There's a guy following me around the parking lot yesterday asking me for money, saying, I got a wife and two kids. And I didn't respond. I just said, no, thanks, and walked away as he kept following people. I was going to say, I've got a wife and six kids. But that wasn't going to make him feel any better, right? I wanted to say, why aren't you working somewhere? What's your issue? Maybe he does have a legitimate issue. I don't know. Some of those people do, and some of those people don't. You just need to be careful as to which ones do and which ones don't. Kim Dennis talked about it a while ago. I think she was at Taco Bell or something, had a confrontation with a guy, and then she got to talk to him and share with him, and God wanted her to share with him. So some people are out there and need help, and some out there are just taking advantage. When we focus on Jesus, we can see things from his perspective. Amy Grant sang a song about having our Father's eyes. Anybody remember that song? Seeing things the way God sees them. Jesus saw the good in things, and he was compassionate. Faith always has an object of focus, whatever that may be. Hopefully it's Christ, because that's going to bring happiness, security, and fruitfulness. Anything else, it's misplaced. It gives frustration, stagnation, bondage and struggle. If your faith isn't something else, it's not going to help your faith. You're not going to be fulfilled. It's always going to be lacking unless it's in Him. There's an example I was reading this week. It says, someone may say eating enables you to live, and that sounds reasonable at first. But you can also eat and still die if you eat what's poison. You have to be eating the right things to live healthy, don't you? Focusing on the right things to have a healthy spiritual life. It's not the act of eating that keeps you alive, but eating the right thing that keeps you alive. The same way faith alone doesn't save us, it's by grace through faith in Jesus that saves us. This is Steve Camp. He said, we're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. Since there's no room for human merit, there can be no grounds for human boasting. That's nice, isn't it? You can't boast about something. I'm the greatest. I'm the best. This is what happened to me. He did it just for me. You know, He did it for all of us because He's the way, the truth, and the life. When He's our object of our faith, the result is that we're free from slavery, from bondage, right? And when we don't follow Him, then we get back into things that we don't want to be in. So we find ourselves in need of fixing our focus. Then we look towards Jesus, the one whom God provided as a source for all our needs. For individuals, families, and churches, place our trust in Him alone, we'll experience a faith that has roots. You ever have a tree in your yard that just blew over? And the roots are like that deep? And then you got other trees, no matter what storm comes, it can't be blown over because the roots go down so deep. That's the kind of faith He wants us to have. Faith so strong in Him that we don't give up. No matter what the situation, experience, or circumstance, we always believe God is there. God is faithful. He's going to deliver whatever it may be. Paul said in Colossians 2, 6, and 7, so then just as you receive Christ, Jesus as Lord, so you walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in faith as you were taught. Because that's the kind of faith that helps us make it through, doesn't it? That's the kind of faith God wants us to have. There's another song that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face. The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. As you focus on Him, you can't really look around at anything else, right? If you're looking at Him, it's hard to look around. So He says, focus on Him. Turn your eyes on Him, look into His face, and you'll see that He's the deliverer. Stephen did that in Acts chapter 7 when he was testifying and he was being stoned. Remember that section? It says, but Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Can you imagine that kind of experience? Seeing into heaven? No matter what's happening around you, it didn't matter to him because he knew he was right with God and he was testifying. So maybe you're facing a bad situation today. Things don't seem to be working out. You're feeling defeated and discouraged. Bible says, fix your focus on Him. Look to Him. Trust Him. Pray to Him. Follow His lead, and the worries of this life won't seem so big. You know they're not going to last forever, but we know there's victory in Jesus, don't we? Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this day, for this morning. Help us to fix our eyes on You. Lord, there's so many things going on in this world, troubles and trials and struggles and sorrows and fears and everything else that we have going on. Help us, Lord, to fix our eyes upon You, to trust in You that You're going to deliver us, comfort us, hold us, carry us. And in the end, Lord, there's victory in Jesus. And we just give You the praise for this in Your name. Amen.
Stand this morning, shall we? I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness, Thy faithfulness. With my mouth will I make known Thy faithfulness to all generations. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord.
Amen. Have a great week. It's good to see you today.